This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio. And that's right, we are inside the Quicken Loan Studios, and we're going to open up hour number two with some NFL news and notes. And how about the Atlanta Falcons, their new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, a very bold move made by the Falcons. And I have to tell you what, I was totally shocked. I was completely surprised. And so I'm going to reach out to my guy, Steve Bortstein, from Fox Sports New Mexico, who's joining us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening, Steve. Nice to have you back.
Nice to be back, Alyssa. Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about this innovative offensive guy, this offensive guru in Steve Sarkisian. He's left the college ranks, and now he is headed to the NFL. Why did Dan Quinn believe he was the right guy, to lead the Falcons offensively?
I'm assuming it's because he's not going to have to change that much. I think there was an assumption here that, like we see with other offensive coordinators that come in and change an offense around. This offense is very good. I mean, I know they had the meltdown in Super Bowl 51, but I don't think this offense requires a lot of changing. I don't think it requires a major overhaul. I think Steve Sarkisian understands that kind of offense. He obviously worked with Dan Quinn for a time when they were both, working with Pete Carroll back in the day. So I think there is some history there. I think that, again, I don't think this is going to require a massive overhaul on their offense. Obviously, they have a lot of talent on that offense. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, the very talented backfield. They've got a lot of other good receivers there. So I don't think it required a lot of tinkering. What I think is more, I guess disturbing in a way is, Steve Sarkisian, you can argue, is coming off as much of an offensive meltdown in the Alabama loss to Clemson,
right,
as the Atlanta Falcons did in Super Bowl 51
exactly,
against the New England Patriots.
Absolutely. So, but tell me this. When you look at the Falcons, season to season, will they continue to remain committed to the offensive system that Kyle Shanahan had in place, or do you see him changing up some things?
There's always going to be a few things that'll change. Whenever you bring in a new offensive coordinator, obviously there's going to be, a lot of terminology might change. A lot of ways they call plays might be changed. But, let's face it, this was the highest scoring offense in the NFL for a reason. They have the talent there. So I don't think it's going to require that much tinkering. And again, I think it's an offense that Steve Sarkisian, on his best day, will have fun, kind of working with that offense and working with the schemes on that offense there. I guess the part of it that bothers me a little bit, and this is, not the joking part with the Alabama comparison,
but
he had one game as offensive coordinator for Alabama, one game. He came in after the weird, just bizarre dismissal there of Lane Kiffin after he decided to take a job at a university that most people hadn't even heard of until 3 weeks ago. So you have then Sarkisian takes over for the championship game. They lose that game in epic fashion. And now all of a sudden he gets rewarded with that, with the job at Atlanta. And I don't know that there wasn't maybe some problems between Saban and Sarkisian. I'm sure Saban was unhappy with the way that game unfolded and the way that game ended against Clemson. So maybe it was just a move on both sides, and it's a way to save face a little bit for both Alabama and Sarkisian. It's an interesting move. You said at the top here, Alyssa, that it was a move that kind of came out of left field. It kind of came out of nowhere. What also bothers me a little bit, and it's going to be an issue that is going to come up, obviously, in press conferences, and if, God forbid, something does happen, So Dan Quinn went on record at the day of the announcement that Steve Sarkisian was coming on board that, you know, they went through and did all the backstories on Steve Sarkisian. Obviously, he had his issues with alcoholism and addiction issues at Washington. Those came out full bore, obviously, upon his dismissal later on at USC. And it was also a storyline when they hired him at the University of Alabama. When Dan Quinn talked about that, they said, yeah, we went through the backstory and we're fine. We think he's okay. And then the very next day, Steve Sarkisian, in his introductory press conference, talked about, no, it's not something that it's over. I mean, alcoholism, any sort of addiction, Alyssa, you've dealt with people who deal with addictions every day. It's never over. You never fully recover. It's not like going in for surgery for a broken ankle. It's something that you never fully recover from. So, you know, we all want the best for Steve Sarkisian. I do. I'm sure everyone does. But if something bad happens to him, this is going to fall on Dan Quinn. This is going to fall on his shoulders, and it's going to fall on Arthur Blank. And it's something that could really, really be a problem down the road if, in fact, it's not monitored. And if, in fact, he does fall back, then you have bigger issues, even more so than how he's going to run an offense, you know, that's that talented.
Steve Ortstein of Fox Sports New Mexico joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Steve is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Okay, as we talk about Steve Sarkisian, you talked about some of the concerns that you have. You know, he's only coached one game at Alabama. That was in the national title game. But I think about, full disclosure here, Steve, I mean, my biggest concern is, you know, Sarkisian has coached in the NFL, one season in 2004, working with the quarterbacks. He was the quarterbacks coach for the Raiders, and that has been a long, long time ago. How do you see him making this transition with, you know, an offensive juggernaut when you talk about the Falcons?
It's a great point. You know, I mean, it's been, you know, 13 years. I couldn't even tell you who the quarterback was of the Oakland Raiders back in 2004. It's a time in their past I'm sure they'd rather forget, too, over in Oakland. But, you know, I don't think you lose sight of, you know, the game itself. I mean, don't forget, he did have the seasons out of Washington where he was the head coach there, and he was pretty much involved in that offense, which was very good when he was up at Washington. And then he had the season at USC, you know, where he's had some talented players around him. I don't think you ever forget the game. I think sometimes you're victimized by the talent around you. So I don't think that's going to be so much the issue. I think I'm more concerned about the pressure aspect of it, not what he's learned and what he has to relearn.
Sure.
I'm just more concerned about the pressure aspect of it. And if in fact that pressure, you know, gets to him in an emotional way where the addiction issue comes back up. And, you know, that's something that obviously doesn't show in the X's and O's on the field necessarily, but it could show in how that offense is running. It could show in how that team is running. It could show, you know, in player behavior. I mean, I think it'll be interesting early on to see how united this team is when they come back. Look, we saw the effect that losing a Super Bowl had on Carolina this year. We saw what effect it had. That team was disjointed. The coaching staff was disjointed in Carolina, and they were coming off a devastating Super Bowl loss at the hands of the Denver Broncos. This one, I would argue, for Atlanta was 1,000 times more devastating for them. They had a 25-point lead at one point in the third quarter of that Super Bowl and blew it. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this team, all of them, Dan Quinn, Steve Sarkisian, the new defensive line coach, the new, you know, all the new coaches there, how they all function, I think will be seen early on in that 2017 season coming up in September.
How do you think the Falcons have come to terms and to grips with, you know, squandering that 25-point lead?
I don't think you ever come to terms with it. I mean, ask Cam Newton how he's come to terms with it. Mm-hmm. Ask Ron Rivera. Ask Luke Kuechly. I don't think you ever come to terms with that. That was a game. I mean, I know the Carolina loss was more emphatic against Denver, but remember, they were supposed to win that game. I mean, that was a game that clearly they were supposed to win, and they didn't. And here you have, you know, Atlanta with this unbelievable offense. They get out to that 28-3 lead. People are turning the game off. People are thinking it's over. And suddenly there's Tom Brady, you know, hoisting a trophy over his head. So I don't know if you ever get over something like that. There's no textbook that says here's how you get over a Super Bowl loss, turn to page 212. That doesn't exist. So I think it's going to be very interesting. There's always that Super Bowl hangover effect you hear so much about. And I'm not using that term because of Steve Sarkisian. There's no pun intended there. But,
yeah.
but there's always that, you know, there is always that Super Bowl hangover thing you can get into. And it's a real thing. I mean, if you can ask a lot of teams, you know, how did you get over a loss in the Super Bowl? I don't think you ever do.
Our NFL news and notes will continue with Fox Sports' Steve Borstein after this quick timeout right here at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.